Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Technicast. This is a special podcast we've got going this week where it is all about Tekken and specifically Tekken 7. We've got a couple of people on the podcast today to talk about the game itself. We've got Mats C, who was at the preview event with me, and we played a bit against each other, and he beat me a few too many times, but we will talk about that in a little bit. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hello, I didn't beat you that many times. You beat me an even number of times.
We also have Game Dev Matt, who you'll remember from our podcast a little bit ago. He's a Tekken man, and he can talk about how he likes Tekken.
I'm slowly dying every time I don't have the game in my hand, so I'm immensely jealous of you two for having played it.
And then we have Ginny, and I don't even know if Ginny likes Tekken, but if she doesn't, she's just going to have to this
week. Well, I like Anna Williams. I mean, that's basically, like, isn't it?
Fair enough. And the other nice thing that we've got this week is we have an in-depth interview with the producer of Tekken. I got to have a good chat with him about stuff and that crazy cat girl and other stuff. And yeah, it's a pretty good interview. Something worth looking forward to if you listen on. And welcome back. That was our typical Hatsune Miku track to start things off. And yeah, Miku's not in Tekken, but well, Matt
should be.
She should be. If she was in there, she'd probably win like every match by default just by existing. So there's no way you can't have an overpowered Miku. So yeah, I can understand why developers are a little bit tentative about putting her in there. But yeah. So Tekken 7. We were at a preview event for the upcoming console release of Tekken 7. Well, this will be 2 weeks ago. By the time you're listening to this podcast, we're recording it a bit in advance, so we can get it done in time for the embargo. And yeah, Matt C and I were there. We got to play a couple of matches against each other. Matt decided that he quite liked this, the Lolita Gothic character who is impossible and beat me too often. But yeah, other than that, it was all pretty good. nice fighting system. Really, really clean visuals. Very, very good visuals, actually. Some of the new characters are really cool. There's the Arab character that's in there now, Shaheen. And Shaheen is all kinds of awesome. He's probably going to be one of my favorites when the full game is released. And then there's, obviously the returning ridiculous characters, Bob, the bowling ball. Yeah, Bob. And the panda's back. Panda is cool. So what do you think about it, Matt?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've never been a huge Tekken fan, although I do still disagree with you, and I think it's better than Dead or Alive. I really enjoyed it, and I think it seems a lot more. One of the issues I've always had with Tekken is that it's got a really steep learning curve, just in terms of getting to a place of being competent at the game. And I think Tekken 7 seems to have eased that out a little bit in a bunch of different ways, which I really like. And so I think it's going to be more enjoyable if you're not like a hardcore competitive player.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, I haven't played too many Tekken games in the past. The last one I played with any kind of, length of time was Tekken Tag 2 on the Wii U. But before that, I hadn't really played much of Tekken at all. I must admit, I'm not particularly good at Tekken. But with this one, I found myself doing some pretty cool moves. Pretty early on, and kind of getting a feel for how to execute those, and the system seemed to be a little bit more accessible for noobs like me. To talk about comparisons between Tekken and my favorite fighting game, which is Dead or Alive, I still prefer Dead or Alive's kind of counter-heavy system, mostly because I've spent the time in Dead or Alive to get really good at that, and I can annoy the hell out of people by just countering them constantly. But this one, I feel like I need to button mash my way through a bit more, because I'm not as good, or not good at all, as my losses to Matt showed. But yeah, I do like the characters. There's not a standout favorite for me at this stage, because I haven't really had that kind of history with the series. But I like Josie, I think, and Shaheen's just great. And I get to enjoy Shaheen from the start, because obviously he's a new character, so I'll be as on board with him as anybody else. But Matt, game dev Matt, you're a big fan of Tekken.
Yes, I've been playing it for too long.
What is it about Tekken 7 that you're looking forward to?
It's always sort of a weird thing when like the new iteration comes out, because in a lot of ways it's like it's the same game that I've been playing since forever. For me, it coming to PC is actually like a really big deal. Just because it's kind of always one of those games that's kind of been bound to playing on console at home on the couch, but this is now, it's something that I can take around with me and have, I don't know, a few rounds of between meetings and stuff like that. And it's not the biggest thing in the world because of that, but it's like, oh, that's really awesome. I'm very happy this is happening.
Sure.
But I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, How do you find Tekken kind of stacks up against some of the other fighting games, and why might you prefer this one?
Yeah, so I was thinking when you were saying before about the difficulty curve of it. Like, it's very true. Tekken has always had this kind of point where, yeah, there's sort of like you can go along with button mashing, and it's all good and it's all fun. But then suddenly you'll have someone who just has that, you know, just a slight idea of, like, you know, a few moves or, you know, like a bit of maneuvering skill, and suddenly the difference between those two type of players is really huge, which I think, you know, has been a problem in the series. So it's good to hear that. That they're dealing with that kind of thing in it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is especially, I think, people who are new to the series will really appreciate the story mode in this one. Not necessarily because of the story itself, which is fighting erotic games and stories. Unless it's BlazBlue, fighting games and stories aren't exactly a well-renowned mix, but. The story mode in this one, as a tutorial, which is, you know, what story modes in these fighting games generally try to be, is really effective, because it actually gives you kind of like these story mode, I can't remember what it's called, but story buttons or something, where if you're pressing down on one of the buttons, you get to execute all the kind of the super cool attacks with pressing a single other button.
Cool.
Story assist, I think it was called.
Yeah, story assist, that's the one. So new. And it's a really good feature. So, you know, you're playing with this character and you have absolutely no idea how to play his Heihachi or whatever, as I do. But I was able to use this button and get a sense for, oh, so, you know, if I got good at Heihachi, this is what he would look like, you know, kicking butt with. And that was really cool. I really like that. I would like to see that go into every fighting game going forwards, so that people can actually use that story mode to get a feel for which characters they like, beyond just following along with the narrative, but which characters they actually like fighting with as well. I think that would be a big help. Especially for newcomers to the series. So
yeah,
that's very cool,
I was just going to say, because, like, the amount of time that you have to sink into your characters and fighting games generally to know whether you're going to like them or not, most people just end up choosing it based on, hey, I like that person's haircut, or hey, I like that person's outfit. You know, you don't get a strong sense of, you know, what their style actually is.
Or hey, yeah, I like that person's gothic Lolita style.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, that's exactly what kind of happened with me with Dead or Alive, where, you know, when I started playing Dead or Alive, I was a big fan of Hitomi purely on, you know, the physical assets. But as I played, you know, more and more and more, you know, it took me a good 40, maybe 50 hours of play across the series to get a sense that, I kind of prefer playing, you know, Kokoro's fighting style. So, you know, most people aren't going to spend 40, 50 hours to get a sense of which character they actually want to use in the game. They want to know exactly, you know, early and upfront which one they'll kind of attach themselves to. So I think Tekken 7's definitely done that. I think definitely beyond making the combat more accessible for players, I think they've actually done a great job in introducing you to such a massive cast that you'll actually know kind of which one you want to play within a couple of hours.
Brilliant.
So, Ginny, I haven't heard from you as yet. Are you a fan of Tekken at all? Is this kind of your fighting game of choice?
Well, I've only ever played Tekken in arcades with my brother. So in terms of commenting on the skill cap, I probably can't, because I love my brother, but he is ridiculously awful at fighting games. Like, I think if I just rolled my face across the sticks, I would probably do better than my brother at a fighting game. No, I mean, Melden, if you're listening, like, I love you, buddy, but seriously, just stick to RTSs or something, man. Like, just... So, I mean, I can't really comment on the difficulty curve, because I've always only ever been up against my brother. But I would definitely say that Tekken has always interested me peripherally, mainly because of the fact that it's got, like, a rather elaborate story set up. Like, even if the story is not the highlight of playing Tekken, like the whole like devil gene thing, and then the whole, you know, father, like the prodigal son thing, and then the whole mystery with the mom in Tekken 7. Like, I think that Tekken has a very interesting backstory. Whether or not they actually like play through the entire story in the games, I wouldn't know. Obviously, maybe you guys are Tekken aficionados might know how much the story actually gets, you know, clarified in the game. But
yeah, it's like quite often it's just that you know, that bit of a line before a battle, and yeah, at the end of your 9 rounds or something, you'll get like a little cutscene or something. There's no deep emotional connection to be found in there. But it's fun.
They've definitely tried to improve that for Tekken 7. There is an actual cinematic mode, story mode to work through.
Okay.
It works more like, I don't know if this is the standard for fighting games now or not, because I don't play like Street Fighters and stuff, but it works basically the same way as it does in Dead or Alive, where you've got quite a long cutscene which leads into a battle with a particular character, and then seamlessly afterwards the story continues regardless of kind of who's, well, I mean, if you've lost, then it's kind of game over or try again. But the story just kind of continues on, it flits between characters. And yeah, you've got these big cinematic pieces before and after each battle, they try and use those cinematic pieces to give context to each battle. It doesn't always work, but it's a little ridiculous at times, but yeah, it's a decent effort. I think Mortal Kombat does the same thing, actually. The last Mortal Kombat,
I think, Mortal Kombat does that, and Injustice, and I think it's becoming the kind of standard thing. But from what I noticed, I think we got to play like the first 8 chapters or something. It's mostly cutscenes and then a little bit of fighting and then some more long cutscenes. So it's definitely the story mode is skewed more towards the story than the fighting.
Okay, that's interesting.
But yeah, the one thing I also like is that there's a gallery mode, which is pretty much your typical gallery mode where you can rewatch cutscenes and stuff, but it's got all the cutscenes from every Tekken game.
Oh, really?
Since the first one, yeah. So you can go and just rewatch everything since Tekken 1 and kind of catch yourself up on the story.
There's some quality. I think it's a nice touch. For the first 3 games.
Yeah, they are in all their 1995 glory.
Oh wow!
This game came out, so they're all there.
Lots of awkward winking. There's a couple of you know, your Japanese schoolgirl type characters, and this is before animation in games was kind of particularly great at communicating anything, and so there's lots of like really sort of robotic kind of, you know, hey, I'm trying to be sexy and flirty, but it's just like kind of having a tin can wink at you or something like that.
Speaking of characters, I guess I wanted to ask everyone, where do you think kind of Tekken's characters sit amongst the casts of other fighting games? Because I guess for me, one of the challenges I've had in getting into Tekken in the past is, even if I like a character's fighting style, I don't necessarily like the overwhelming bulk of the cast. There's just this, the thing that I've always struggled with a bit with Tekken is that I get that it's going for this mix of humor and diversity with the character kind of ranges and where they come from and stuff, but it's this eclectic mix which gets a bit too eclectic for me, if it makes sense. Having a panda fighting some dude that looks like he's meant to be from Russia, I think, Draglogov or whatever his name is, it's amusing on one level, but it over the long term, I don't find it particularly relatable. And this is compared to, you know, again, Dead or Alive, where the characters are a bit silly, but they're consistent in that, you know, you don't have weird stuff going on with them. And you know, you can go completely the other way with something like Blaze Blue, where every character is just insane. and just weird. Or... Tekken seems to have this mix of, you know, some of the characters look like they might belong in something like Dead or Alive. Some of the characters look like they might belong in BlazBlue 3D, or, you know, one or two of the characters might belong in, you know, even a Mortal Kombat or something. And that kind of has put me off in the past. I find it hard to find a character that I like as a character, which is, yeah. I don't think Tekken 7 fixes that, because why would they fix it when they've, you know, the series has such a fan base for the way it does characters anyway, regardless of what I think. But yeah, that's I guess my one issue with Tekken over the years.
I think, I mean, a lot of the sort of the more weird characters in Tekken are, it's one of those games that, if you don't know the history of how things came to be, the, you know, the sort of the humor of it, or the kind of the nostalgia of it, are just like totally lost. So like the panda character, you know, was a I think an unlockable character in Tekken 3 that then made it into the normal roster for like future games, but in Tekken 3 it was just a gag character on the side. But it, you know, as someone coming into the game who doesn't know the history of that and just seeing that in the roster, there's no nostalgia there. There's just, oh, suddenly there's a panda in here. And I think yeah, like I can understand why that would be yeah, like quite off-putting as a new player coming in.
I think I've almost had the opposite experience, where particularly early on, in the first few games, I didn't like Tekken that much because I found the characters kind of bland and boring, especially compared to other fighting games of the time, like Street Fighter and Samurai Showdown and all that sort of stuff. But then I think I have appreciated how things have gotten a bit more diverse and weird, and especially from Tekken 5 on, where which, unless I'm not mistaken, Tekken 5 was when Lily got introduced, and that was when, yeah, when suddenly Tekken got really good, and things have gotten weirder, like with Elisa the cyborg who shoots rockets and takes her head off to throw it at people. And now it's getting even weirder with Lucky Chloe, who is going to be another, definitely another fan favorite, I think.
Well, those two characters are kind of what I'm talking about. I mean, you got Lucky character Chloe, which is this weird troll character that they've thrown in and then left in there purely because it pisses people off, I think. And then you've got, you know, Shaheen, who is this kind of straight down the line dude who fights really bloody good. You know, and, you know, Shaheen is, I put in inverted commas, a serious character. He doesn't have the kind of ridiculous nonsense that the that some of the other characters have, whereas Lucky Chloe is like the ridiculous character. And it's that, again, it's that kind of clash. It's like these characters could be in different fighting games quite easily, and would make more sense perhaps in a more cohesive cast across two different fighting games. So maybe they need to make two different versions of Tekken. Tekken for serious people, and then Tekken for people that like stupid idol characters.
For best idol characters. Yeah, I think Tekken 7 like just also makes that even weirder, because now Akuma is in the game. Akuma from Street Fighter. And not even as like a gimmick joke character, but he's kind of a central part of the storyline in Tekken. Which I think that was kind of took everyone by surprise. But from playing it, I was quite impressed with how well integrated he is, just because they're such different fighting game systems, and adapting the character from a 2D game into a 3D game where like everything right down to the basic physics of the game are fundamentally different. I wasn't sure how well that was actually going to work, but it seems to work quite well.
So, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. And thank you for coming to Australia. long trip for a day. Yeah.
Not so bad. Not as far as Europe.
So, obviously, you've got Tekken 7 on the way. Not long enough playing now for console and so on. And I've had a chance to play around with it, and it's looking really, really good. So, congratulations on the game, first up. I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about the story mode first, because with fighting games, people don't generally associate, you know, great stories with, you know, the genre. But this one seems like you've put a lot of effort into, you know, coming up with an interesting story to follow along with. Why did you feel that you wanted to have that kind of in-depth story in the game this time around?
ってるのかと、まあ、ストーリーモード自体がってことだよね、まあ、まず鉄拳自体は、まあ、今回確かにすごくシリアスでディープな話なんですけど、もともと格闘ゲームとしては、シリーズ初期の頃から珍しく CG の、プリレンダリングムービーをいち早く導入していたりとか、エンディングムービーって言われる、いわゆるそのキャラクターエピソードみたいなものって結構重要視してたんですね。で、まあそこから鉄拳、4もそうですし、5もそうだし、6もそうですし、特に4、5、6あたりはかなり重厚なストーリーを、一応提供はしてました。ただその見せ方としては結構おまけモード的な意味合いが強かったんですけど、まあ、今回セブンはやっぱり今までのそういったストーリーの見せ方の技術をできるだけもっと没入感のある、そして現代風のやり方でこうシームレスに見せるっていうようなことを、やることで、一番やりたかったのは鉄拳シリーズ20年間やってきた人も、今回から新しく来るニューカマーも、お互いが知らない事実をちゃんと全部知らせることと、この親子の喧嘩を決着させること、これを同時にやることで、あ、鉄拳ってこういうストーリーで、うわ、こんな面白いんだってことを理解してもらう、これがやっぱ最大の狙いだったと。
Well, Tekken has always kind of had story elements to it. From early on in the series, we had the opening CG movies as well as the kind of ending character specific moviesand then the story kind of evolved for 4, 5, and 6 and how we portrayed it, the scenario campaign mode in 6, etc. So this time around, though, we just kind of wanted to make it more in-depth and to use the latest technology and kind of rearrange the story to match the current standards. So that's why it's more in-depth and streamless and not streamless, I mean, seamlessly transitions from the movies to the gameplay, etc. We really wanted to portray the final conclusion of the battle between the father and son, Heihachi and Kazuya. But another objective was that the series has been running for 20 years now, so that fans who are new to the series and then, you know, veteran fans of the series all have these kind of questions about the storyline. Veterans, you know, they want to know some of the story plots that haven't been tied up yet. Beginners don't know anything about the story. So this mode was kind of designed to answer those questions as well as kind of ease newcomers into the story. And that's pretty much the objective of the story.
Okay, sure. So do you feel that the reason that it's important to have a story in a fighting game is to help players connect with characters, or is there some other reason that you put story into fighting games?
キャラに愛着が湧くようにしているのか、他の意図があるのか。
そうだね。その元々はやっぱりそこは多分7も今までのシリーズも変わらないんですけど、基本キャラクターゲームの側面はやっぱり、いわゆる対戦ゲームであると同時に半分はやっぱりキャラクターゲームなので、キャラクターに対する愛着を湧いてほしいっていうのは、これシリーズ共通のテーマですね。で、ただ今回はちょっとそれだけじゃないですね。そのメインのキャノンストーリーで今まで語られてなかったとこプラス、この2人が決着をつくってことなので、カズヤか平八のどちらかある意味死んでしまうわけなので、単なる試合ではなくて本当殺し合いなので、そうなってしまうとキャラクターに愛着という意味で言うと あの命を失うキャラクターがいるってことはちょっと愛着とかいうレベルはちょっと超えた、キャノンストーリーの進み方っていう表現に今回なるのかなと思います。
Well, you know, Tekken is first and foremost a fighting game, but it's also kind of a character game in that the characters are all fully fleshed out and have their own storylines, and people play the game because they have a favorite, etc. So the story mode and the story elements have always been kind of strong in Tekken for this reason, to, as you said, to have people become engaged with a certain character. But the level of the story that's portrayed this time because of the portrayal of the conclusion of the battle between these two, obviously one of them might not be standing once the battle is finished. So it kind of goes above and beyond trying to get people engaged with the character. It's more about portraying the progression of the canon story.
Sure. And one of the things I always find interesting about storytelling in fighting games is that usually when you've got a story to tell, there's a limited number of characters that are kind of prominent. But obviously with a fighting game, you've got a massive cast, 20 plus characters. And how do you kind of balance it out so that, I mean, obviously you've got the two main characters in this story, but how do you make sure that each character kind of gets some good screen time and is, you know, important to the overall story?
キャラクターは結局今回のストーリーも全てのキャラクターをやっぱり絡めてしまうと、まあ、当たり前ですけど、例えば何でしょうね、
収集つかないよね、
例えばキャラクターが30体だと、敵は持っていますけど、仮に30体だとしても1時間のストーリーしかなかった、1人当たり2分しかないじゃないですか。だからそれがじゃあもっと1時間じゃなくて5時間あればじゃあいいのかっていうと、それでも1人当たりのストーリーってたった数分ずつになってしまうって考えると、物理的にこう鉄拳みたいに今何キャラいるんだっけ、
数えてるんだけど48とかそういう感じだ
っけ、40いくつ
だっ
け、
そう
50近いという状況だと、まあ常識的に考えると50近くで全部出すとちょっと現実的じゃないストーリーの描き方になりますよね。なので、今回もこのキャノンストーリーの部分にエピソードが絡んでくるキャラっていうのは、絡んでこないキャラっていうのは当然やっぱり出てきてしまいます。でなのでキャノンストーリーのところとそのキャラクターエピソードっていうのはそれに付随してこう時間経過とともにちょっとアンロックされていって、GP を倒すことでクリアするとエピソードが見れるっていう今までの手法プラス、あとはキャノンストーリープラスその今までの手法みたいなちょっとミックスさせてるような感じですね。
So the story mode and how you mentioned about covering each character fairly, I guess you could say, in the story is something that's always an issue, but for this time around it's not like we're covering all of them in the same amount. And the reason for this is if you think just, you know, Tekken has more characters, but just for a random number, if you had 30 characters and the story was like an hour long, maybe that would only give each character 2 minutes. Okay, so what if you make the story 5 hours long? Even so, if you take each one individually with the same amount of time, it's still just several minutes. So as such, it's kind of hard to incorporate all the characters in the story mode like that. So for Tekken, we cover the main storyline with the characters that are involved with that. And then as you're playing through and you progress through the game, you unlock these other character episodes that kind of are side stories, I guess you could say, that cover some of the characters that don't appear in this main plot.
Sure. So one of the things I love about Tekken is that you've got such a diverse range of characters. You know, you've got serious and then more comical characters, but you've also got characters that, you know, cover off just about every kind of culture that's out there. And you know, with this one, we've obviously got the new Arab character, Shaheen.
Shaheen.
Yes, I hope I said his name right. So, and he's the first Arab character in a fighting game that I can remember for quite some time. I'm sure there's been some others, but I can't remember them, at least as distinctive as Shaheen is. Why did you decide to put this character into the game? Was there a particular reason that you felt it was time to have another character from that region of the world in your game?
ちょっとアラブ格闘ゲーム史上アラブキャラとして初だったかどうか実は意識してなかったから本当かどうかわかんないね、それはね。 思い出せないとか言ったけど、俺なんかね、2D 格闘にいたかもしれないなと思ってる。
どこに？
2D 格闘かなんかね、分かんないけど。まあいいや、そこはメイントピックじゃないもんね。
まあ、まあ要はメジャーなキャラはいないよね。うん、
確かにその、実は今言われて、格闘ゲーム、そういう意味で理由としては格闘ゲーム初のアラブキャラを狙いたかったわけじゃないなってことは今逆に分かったんですね。あの僕らそれを意識しなかったんで。で、やっぱり選んでる理由は、キャラクターの作り方のこう変化だと思います。時代による、あのやっぱり限られたポリゴン数でテクノロジーベースで作っ、テクノロジー、珍しいテクノロジーですよね、に先駆けて作ってたナムコの時代の鉄拳と、次になんとか格闘ゲーム、あれですね、どっちか、次は異種格闘技戦っていうのが世界的にちょっと流行り始めて、いろんな格闘技をベースにアイデアを、キャラクターアイデアを作ってた時代、その次にやっぱり格闘ゲームとしてちゃんと仲間入りしたいというか、格闘ジャンルの中でコンペティターにも、カジュアルだけじゃなくてコンペティターにも遊んでもらえるものにしようってデザインし始めた時代で、今どういう時代かっていうと、コミュニティの時代だと僕は思っていて、この鉄拳っていうのを気がついたらやっぱりワールドワイドに、売れている。結構ヨーロッパの人自身も意識ないと思いますけど、鉄拳の4400万本中なんと 50% はヨーロッパの各国で売れてて、次にアメリカ、そして南米、中東とかいろんなアジア広く含めてワールドワイドになってる。でそこでやっぱりインターネット時代になっていろんな意見が拾えるようになって、コミュニティの声が直接届くようになったので、まあ、その地域にのニーズに合ったキャラクターを作っていきたいなって意味で、実は中東は、ドバイに初めて行ったのいつだっけ、あれ結構前だった、
はい、じゃああの B2 のイベントの
ね、あの時いつ何年だっけ、
タグ2だっけ、
より前の気がするね、6だね、どうだ、2009か10か、
そう
2010年ぐらい、うん、7、8年ぐらい前に中東に行った時に、地元のコミュニティが出してきたキャラアイデアのスケッチを見て、あ、本当にこういうキャラが欲しいんだってことを僕らがこうちょっとそこからインスピレーションを得て、なんとか今に至ったって感じですかね、はい、
Well, the characters, the way we normally, you know, progress through trying to flesh out characters.At the first of the start of the series, it was when Polygon technology was still kind of unique, and Namco kind of had the market on that. The characters that we chose were kind of dictated on what kind of characters would be displayed well in that, with that technology. Then we graduated on to kind of including various martial arts that might catch the attention of players at the time, and it was before MMA, so you had a lot of interest in.What would happen if this martial art fought this other martial art? So that was kind of, we chose characters based on these martial arts and such. Then after that, there was a period where we kind of transitioned into being a serious fighting game and to kind of add characters that would expand the gameplay or the strategy for the game itself. And then more recently, it's more focused on the community, I guess. So when we're traveling the world and you interact with a certain community,you find there's a big Tekken community there, and maybe they're not well represented in the game by a character or something like that. So sometimes we get ideas that way. For example, in the Middle East, when we went to Dubai for the first time, it was probably roughly 7 years ago, there was a very vibrant community there. And they actually had kind of a rough idea of, hey, this would be a really cool character.And it didn't end up being implemented exactly like that, but we kind of took that as a base and refined the idea while kind of, you know, checking with them about the concept. And that's kind of how Shaheen was brought about.
Sure. Obviously, you don't want to offend anybody when you put these characters into your games.
Right.
Is it difficult to have such a diverse cast and then pull characters from so many different cultures and then make sure that, you know, you're not accidentally doing something with that character that would, you know, upset that community? And then, you know, bringing them all together, and then also having that kind of sense of humour that Tekken has with a lot of its characters. You know, you have a lot of, there's a playful sense of fun with a lot of the characters. So do you find it difficult to kind of balance, you know, your desire to do diversity, to have those kinds of fun characters without actually, you know, going to a point where it offends people?
まあ、いろんな感情とかね、あれで、それが偏見になるかもしれないし、現地のコミュニティは、これじゃねえってなるかもしれないという心配はないのかと。それは、それはもう起きることはもともと予想はしてたんですけど、近年は、そのおっしゃってる、その、 そういうことが起きるんじゃないのってことは、より起きるようになってますね、リアルに。その昔はですね、インターネットもなければ、その、なんでしょう、いわゆるグローバリズムって呼ばれる価値観の統一っていう概念があまりなかったんですよ。例えば西側諸国は西側諸国、アジアはアジアみたいな。もっと言うと国は日本は日本みたいなアイデンティティを、で、お互いの 何が正義かとか、何が社会的常識かっていうのをある程度あったんですけど、違ってるよねっていう認識でしかなかった。で、今は逆にそれがグローバリズムでどんどん価値観を合わせていこう。で、結構欧米はそれをリードしてるっていう意識が、欧米の社会自身にあるので、やっぱ世界の中で。で、結構そこの意見が今強くはなってますよね。だから、例えば、 それはインターネットのせいが理由が多分一番大きいと思うんですよ。なんか例えば自分たちの価値観に合わない運動に出てきた時の、バッシングとかは昔起きなかったぐらいの運動に、バーンってすぐなったりとか、署名運動とかも起きたりとかしますし、あとは何でしょうね、その下手に情報をやっぱりみんな分かるだけに、一生懸命、今回の例えばアラブのキャラでさえ、僕らはすごくうまくやったつもりなんですよ。なんでかっていうと、デザイン段階でみんなに公開して、 問題点を指摘してもらいながら、あといい部分はいい、悪い部分も悪いっていうのを得ながら、なるほど、じゃあこうしようってことでボンってファイナルデザイン出したんですけど、それでも指輪が金色に見えたんですね、ライティングの都合で。別に僕ら金ピカの装飾をつけたつもりはなかったんですけど、でもそのアラブ社会では一般的にはあまり金の装飾にはつけないって言ってたよね、イスラムの。だから あれは銀にした方がいいって、銀色にした方がいいんだっていうのはすごくバーって言われて、まあ、それは苦情ではなかったんですけど、そういった文化的なものでやっぱ細かくガーって言われることは増えました、明らかに昔で。もう一方は気に入らないもの、ある国がすごく好きと言ってても、もう例えばアメリカのラッキークロイみたいに、アメリカ人の人たちはもうこんなの鉄拳の中に存在許さねえって言われ始めると、 ものすごいこう運動につながるみたいなのは昔は絶対なかった現象なので、近代においてはそういうのは増えてますね。
There is always a risk that certain communities might say some criticism about a character that might be geared towards them, or even a character that's in the game that's not necessarily geared towards them. And the risk, I guess you could say, has grown since we have the internet is so prevalent today. And you have, you used to have like Asia or Europe or America had their own kind of standards and culture, and there wasn't much interaction, but now with the internet, everyone's kind of moving towards this globalization with the West kind of as the head of that, and everyone's kind of being influenced by them. So now when we release a character design or idea or something like that, a lot of times you get a lot more feedback than you would normally. And even when we use a lot of care in designing a new character, like with Shaheen, we actually released some of the concept sketches quite early on and then throughout the phase of development. So we thought we were doing a really good job with that. But even though then you still miss some things, like he had a ring on that because the lighting looked like it was gold. And so we thought we had this perfect one concept all together, and they're like, no, Muslims don't wear gold, men anyways. and so we had to change it so it doesn't look so gold. So there's always these things that kind of stand out, and because of the internet, they seem very vocal a lot of times. But like even a character like Lucky Chloe, you know, she might appeal to Asia or Japan, but the U.S. player said, I don't want this character in Tekken. What are you doing? This isn't Tekken, blah, blah, blah. So it is much more prevalent now, I guess, because everyone's so connected and everyone has a voice.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about Lucky Chloe, because I remember that being quite controversial when Americans first discovered that character's in there. And I think she's great. I think she kind of fits in with that spirit of humor that we were talking about, and you know, how much fun, you know, Tekken can have with its characters. And you know, she seems like she's almost a parody of certain other fighting games, the characters that kind of end up in certain other fighting games. Do you think, I mean, were you surprised, firstly, that there was that response to Lucky Chloe? And then do you think that now that people have had a chance to get more familiar with the character and they might have seen her in action and so on, do you think people are more comfortable with her now?
サプライズはなかったですね。もう一個の質問なんだっけ、
今はどうなの、要は受け入れたのか。
今はちょっと僕は味方を引き出すことに成功したんですけど、あえてもうちょっと半分本気だったんですけど、じゃあ本当にアメリカ版出す時はアメリカンリージョンだけそのラッキークロエをちょっと本当取り下げて別のキャラ、ダミーのなんか別のキャラみたいなのを適当なキャラでとりあえず君たちが好きそうなの入れとくよって言ったら、逆にそのアメリカの中で一つの価値観じゃないんだから、気に入ってる人もいるんだからなくすなんてやめてくれっていう一歩が現れたおかげで、まあ今バランスが取れてるかな。
It wasn't really a surprise that that kind of opinion came out. It's just that it was so vocal and so, what would you say, so sure that Americans, no one likes this, blah, blah, blah. So Harada actually got kind of irritated and only half jokingly said, okay, I'll pull her from the game in the US and I'll replace her with like a skinhead muscular guy or something you guys would like. And then you finally got some people that in the US that finally voiced their opinion that, hey, that's only part of America that thinks that way. I live in the US and I like the character, don't pull her from the game. Finally get these kind of people stand up and say their opinion. So now it's kind of balanced out because those people kind of stood up and voiced their opinion.
ただ最近すごく怖いなと思ったのは、怖いって言った表現は昔のすごい困ったなと思ってるのが、どっちかって言ったらこれあんまやばい話じゃないと思うんだけど、社会的なその話でよくもちろん人種的な問題っていろいろアメリカで言われますけど、僕これ困ったなと思ったのが、ネイティブアメリカン、インディアンね、日本人が、ネイティブアメリカンの描き方がその例えばホライズンとか、あと格闘ゲームでも結構昔の格闘ゲームからインディアン系、まあ、ネイティブアメリカン系って出てるんだけど、あれが要はステレオタイプすぎるっていう意見がすごいネイティブアメリカンの系の血を引くゲーマーの間で結構こう主張されてるブログとかを僕読んで、でその羽がついてるとか、そのサベージってキーワードだったり、もしくはこのペイントとかっていうのは、そんなの現代のインディアンでありえないから、本当のインディアンはこう、本当のネイティブアメリカンで今はこうなんだよって写真を見たら、まあもちろん現代に社会なんで、現代社会に普通に溶け込んだ人々の写真だったんですね。だからこうすべきだって結構主張されていて、でそれやったらもう設定全員同じ、僕らみたいに T シャツジーパンに
サラリーマンみたいな感じ、
そう T シャツジーパンだな、アイデンティティ何の表現もできなくなるので、それを見て僕困ったなと思ったのは、例えばオーストラリアのキャラクターだとマードックっているんですね。そのマードックも実は、アボリジニーなんだよね、
うん、
オーストラリアの民族だった人たちなんですが、あれもアボリジニを結構研究してタトゥーだったりそのネックレスとか工夫したんですけど、ああいうのもひょっとしたらもう、いや現代のアボリジニの血を引く人はあんな飾りとかあんなファッションじゃないから、 T シャツにジーパンにしてくれって言われると あのステレオタイプは確かに良くないのかもしれないけど、じゃあ僕ら日本人が、今の日本人はメガネにカメラ背負って全員ネクタイしてるわけじゃないよ、 T シャツジーパンしてくれって言った時に、
もしくは甲冑と刀を持ってないから、そうそうそう、
ちょんまげなんかしてないんだとか侍なんかいないって言い出したら、みんなの抱いてた日本への憧れとか面白さって、な、日本人はそういうの許容できるんですけど、結構そういう意見が増えてきて、じゃあもう僕思ったの、全員 T シャツジーパンに普通の髪型でいいかなってそれはちょっと困ったなというふうに思ってますね。そっちの問題の方が大きくなってきてますね。
There is another thing in creating characters is kind of difficult to get a handle on, is that some people say it's too stereotype or something like that. For example, he mentioned Horizon and some other games anyways, when they come out and they have some kind of elements of the character that are influenced by, for example, say Native Americans, there's a little bit of backlash from that actual group that says, we don't have feathers in our hair or war paint anymore. Everyone looks like this. And the picture they show is just a normal dude in jeans and a t-shirt. So he realizes that stereotypes aren't very necessarily a good thing, but on the other hand, you need characters to have a unique identity to them. So if regardless of character, they're all wearing jeans and t-shirts, it's not going to make for a very interesting game. And the same can be said for, you know, Japan, that the West has this kind of passion about samurai or ninja or things like that. So if Japanese people said the same thing, they would be like, hey, I don't own a set of armor or a sword or anything like that. You need to show me as I am now in jeans and a t-shirt. That wouldn't be very interesting, right? I mean, Japanese kind of realize that Westerners love that image of Japan and aren't really offended by it. It's, you know, it's a game after all.
Sure. So when you're designing the characters, obviously Tekken has an awful lot of different fighting styles in it. Each character has their own fighting style, and they're based on, a lot of the time they're based on real world, you know, styles of fighting. I guess the question I have for you is, not all fighting styles are equal. Some are not particularly, you know, useful in real world combat situations, and, you know, in certainly something like capoeira doesn't work if you go up against somebody who's good at a proper martial art. They're going to lose. How do you make sure that the fighting style for each character is competitive, so each character is balanced, while still looking distinctively like that that martial art? And then on top of that, you know, have the kind of gamey elements with the, you know, the big gravity defying moves and things as well.
ああ、格闘、実際の格闘技の
そのバランス
ね、強さとか弱さとか。
でも俺調べたんだけど、カポエラで KO してるやつもいるよね、あれは。
まあだから
人次第だよね。
そうなんだよね。あの、そうベースの考え方がちょっとどの格闘技が最強かじゃ、鉄拳の場合というか、我々鉄拳プロジェクトは割とそこがスタンドポイントじゃなくて、たまたまやっぱ強かった人がどの格闘技をやってたかっていう結果論でしかないなと思ってるので、ただトレンドはあると思うんですね。やっぱり鉄拳が一生懸命あのグラウンド技とか関節技を一生懸命入れ始めたのは、やっぱり異種格闘技戦でそのグレイシー呪術とかが市場に活躍し始めたので、あれは強いし面白いぞってことで一生懸命いろんなキャラに入れたりとかっていうトレンドはあるんですけど、どっちかっていうと僕らは強さの概念ではなくて面白さの概念で入れてますね。なんかこういう構えの特徴を出すとかっこいいとか、例えば彼はムエタイやってますけど、ムエタイだったらやっぱりあの構えで、キックはやっぱりこうローキックがすごいなとか、
音と反応とかね、
そうそう、やっぱそういう、そう、やられ痛みの表現とか、含めてその格闘技の特徴をどれだけ面白く表現できるかってところだけにしか集中してないですね。それとゲームバランスの強さは全くちょっとカテゴリーが違うなっていうふうに思ってます。
Well, that's a hard discussion because a lot of times it just turns out that there was someone who was very strong fighter and they just happened to be the certain martial art, so that's why that martial art seemed to be strong, etc. We didn't really think about the strength or would you say, how people evaluate a certain martial art when implementing it into the game. It's more about how is that martial art portrayed. For example, he said, I do Muay Thai, and so when you do a low kick or something like that in the game, how does it feel? The sound, the feedback, the way your opponent kind of, you know, reels back when they get hit, etc., makes the game and that move enjoyable. The same with all the other characters and their arts. It's all about, is it interesting as a gameplay? From this kind of stance or whatever, what kind of strategy can you have or what kind of techniques can you do that make the game entertaining and interesting? So the emphasis is placed more on that than which is going to be the strongest martial art.
Sure. Do you actually, how do you go about researching each of these martial arts? Do you...
どうやって調べるのかと。昔は基本的には道場を探して、教えてもらいました。あと有名な選手、大会見に行ってコンタクト先を協会に聞いたりとかして有名選手とコンタクト取って、ビデオを撮ったりモーションキャプチャーしたりでした。ただ例えばそうですね、カポエラとかもそうやって一生懸命ビデオから見て、カリフォルニア そのマスターを探してみたいなことやってましたけど、でただその割と中国拳法とかは今でこそ日本でも結構見つかるんですけど、当時はなかなか見つからなかったので、うん、偽物ばっかり出てくるんですね。うさんくさい人ばっかり出てきて、
な
ので
コッポとか、
そうだからちょっと中央憲法は割と文献とビデオですね。文献とそのビデオで研究したことが多いのと、最近は逆に直接本当に格闘家にがいなくても割と映像物が非常に豊富になってきたので、割と映像からだけでも学べることは多くなったなというふうに思います。
Well, back a long time ago, you really had to dig through videos or go to a certain dojo that you know someone is practicing that particular martial art that you want to look into, and then often to actually contact some of the martial artists if it's some kind of competitive one, then go to the match and see how it looks and to contact them through the organization they belong to, etc. Also through videos and such, like when they went to look for the Capra guy from California that we did the motion capture for. The Chinese Kenpo, or the Kung Fu, I guess you could say, was a little bit more difficult in that era because you didn't have YouTube, the internet, etc. So a lot of it came from literature and also some videos and such. But it was quite difficult to find the real thing because a lot of times just kind of fakes would come up when you're researching the art that, kind of more rare martial arts. But nowadays, you don't even have to motion capture that much. There's a lot of video footage that our motion designers can look at and kind of recreate in the game.
And there's a lot of experience.
And there's a lot on the Tekken team who actually do martial arts. There's a guy pretty good at capoeira. There's some guys who do MMA, karate as well. There's quite a few.
Sure. And then I guess just my final question. Do you have people who are fans of certain martial arts? How much do you think they care about how accurately their martial art is kind of portrayed in the game? Or not accurately, sorry, authentically portrayed in the game.
Do you know what you're doing or what you're doing? マーシャルアーティストとかいるのかと。
あ、忠実に表現できてるかどうか俺らが気にしてるのか。
いや、それをやってる人たちが。
あ、やってる人たちがどう言ってくるか。
そう。
あ、
あんまりないよね。なんか入ってれば結構。
やっぱ喜ばれるんですね。だからこれもあれですよ。ネガティブな意味じゃなくて、ストリートファイターって流派書いてあるんですけど。絶対そんな格闘技じゃないよっていう動きと必殺技を出すじゃないですか。でもあれそんな非難は起きたことがないですよね。だから僕らはやっぱり格闘ゲームっていうのはそういうちょっと幅がある。確かに鉄拳ちょっとリアリティ寄りなので本当の格闘技には近いですけど、それでも実はベースの格闘技作った後にわざとちょっとありえない技を何個かアレンジして入れてもらうんで、言われることは覚悟だし、逆に言うと言われたことあんまないですね。そのむしろ それが入ってることが、
ね、カポエラの人もよく言われる、
すごいカポエラはエディがあったおかげで僕はカポエラを習うきっかけになりましたとか、そういう話の方が多いので、むしろポジティブだよね、うん、
Well, it's interesting because we never really、heard any negative feedback from people who practice the martial art that's represented in the game. It's usually they're happy that it is represented. Like, for example, take Street Fighter. I mean, it's not a criticism or anything, but it has the martial arts names of the characters, but it's not really representative. I mean, they're doing these kind of crazy techniques, etc. But no one's ever really complained about it because it's a game and people are just happy that it's in there. And for us especially, like, there's a lot of people that come up and say, you know, I really, I love Tekken, and the reason I started Capoeira was because it was in Tekken. And now I'm very happy with it. So it seems like there's a lot of positive feedback about just the martial art being represented in the game.
Sure. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for joining us. And best of luck with the game, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure it will be.
Thank you.